Good morning. Today's reading is taken from The Big Sleep by Raymond Chandler, beginning at chapter 7. It was a wide room, the whole width of the house. It had a low beamed ceiling and brown plaster walls decked out with strips of Chinese embroidery and Chinese and Japanese prints in grained wood frames. There were low bookshelves, there was a thick pinkish Chinese rug in which a gopher could have spent a week without showing his nose above the nap. There were floor cushions, bits of old silk tossed around, as if whoever lived there had to have a piece he could reach out and thumb. There was a broad, low divan of old rose tapestry. It had a wad of clothes on it, including lilac-coloured silk underwear. There was a big carved lamp on a pedestal, two other standing lamps with jade-green shades and long tassels. There was a black desk with carved gargoyles at the corners, and behind it a yellow satin cushion on a polished black chair with carved arms and back. The room contained an odd assortment of odour, of which the most emphatic at the moment seemed to be the pungent aftermath of cordite and the sickish aroma of ether. On a sort of low dais at one end of the room there was a high-backed teakwood chair in which Miss Carmen Sternwood was sitting on a fringed orange shawl. She was sitting very straight, with her hands on the arms of the chair, her knees close together, her body stiffly erect in the pose of an Egyptian goddess, her chin level, her small bright teeth shining between her parted lips. Her eyes were wide open. The dark slate colour of the iris had devoured the pupil. They were mad eyes. She seemed to be unconscious, but she didn't have the pose of unconsciousness. She looked as if, in her mind, she was doing something very important, and making a fine job of it. Out of her mouth came a tinny, chuckling noise which didn't change her expression or even move her lips. She was wearing a pair of long jade earrings. They were nice earrings and had probably cost a couple of $100. She wasn't wearing anything else. She had a beautiful body, small, lithe, compact, firm, rounded. Her skin in the lamplight had the shimmering lustre of a pearl. Her legs didn't quite have the raffish grace of Mrs. Regan's legs, but they were very nice. I looked her over without either embarrassment or ruttishness. As a naked girl, she was not there in that room at all. She was just a dope. To me, she was always just a dope. I stopped looking at her and looked at Geiger. He was on his back on the floor, beyond the fringe of the Chinese rug, in front of a thing that looked like a totem pole. It had a profile like an eagle, and its wide round eye was a camera lens. The lens was aimed at the naked girl in the chair. There was a blackened flash bulb clipped to the side of the totem pole. Geiger was wearing Chinese slippers with thick felt soles, and his legs were in black satin pyjamas, and the upper part of him wore a Chinese embroidered coat, the front of which was mostly blood. His glass eyes shone brightly up at me and was by far the most lifelike thing about him. At a glance, none of the three shots I heard had missed. He was very dead. The flashbulb was the sheet lightning I had seen. The crazy scream was the doped and naked girl's reaction to it. The three shots had been somebody else's idea of how the proceedings might be given a new twist. The idea of the lad who had gone down the back steps and slammed into a car and raced away. I could see merit in his point of view. Here ends the reading. Have a very good day.